Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to see you. I haven't been here in a few weeks, and so, man, I was excited to get here this morning, excited to be back worshiping with you. As you may know, Chelsea and I added number four to our family, a little baby girl. I think we got a picture. There she is. That's Quinn Elise, born August 27th. Yes, August 27th. We like her. She doesn't sleep well, but that's okay. She's still cute. But seriously, Chelsea and I just wanted to extend our thank you to our church family for supporting us and giving us some time off to get adjusted and prepared for a baby, for the gifts and meals. We truly appreciate it. We know that we are loved, and so we greatly appreciate that. And hopefully someday soon, oh, she's gone. You'll be able to meet her in person, real live and in person. So anyway, we're glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. Just a couple of announcements. Just a reminder that Bob Ciraldi's class is meeting at 10:15 today over in the Activity Center. And then Judy Tool's class will be starting October 4th, same time, 10:15. So a couple Sunday school options for adults. One happening now, one in just a couple of weeks, and then just a reminder that our kids are back at it during second service, which I know that Mara is excited about, and I know the kids are excited about as well. Slowly starting to work our way back to normal. Hopefully you got a cup of coffee. We'll be working towards more self-serve coffee in the next several weeks, and so it's always good to have coffee while you're worshiping. Amen. That was weak. It's just me and you, Amy. Yeah, amen. Like, that's, yes. Yeah, that's hanky-waving stuff right there, Debbie. Hey, let's pray, and then we're going to worship together. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together, to worship as a family, to gather and to be together and for one purpose, and that's to express our love for you and our love for each other. And so, God, we pray that we would be aware of your presence in our midst during this service, and that all that we do glorifies and honors you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, before you guys stand, I just want to give you a little disclaimer for this song that we're going to sing. I might be breaking the rules. I am breaking the rules a little bit here. Stephanie has informed me that since we are live streaming, I can't change lyrics anymore. Did you know that I do that sometimes? Confession, I do. And in this specific song, I just want to spell out for you because I feel like it's really applicable to right now. In the chorus of this song, it says something about win your people back. I've changed it to people because the original words are win this nation back. Well, in case you don't know, this song is written by a band called Wren Collective, and they're from Ireland. So when they're saying their nation, they're talking about Ireland, right? When we sing it, we would be talking about our nation. I changed it to people because I feel like that's reflective of the heart of God, right? That God is not about choosing favorite countries, favorite nations, and saying, I bless you, I don't bless you, you're my favorite. You know, that is not God's way. That is not God's kingdom. He is drawing the hearts of all people to him, and that's as we are participating in building his kingdom, that's the prayer of our hearts, right? And I want to read to you from here because I think that the beauty in God's kingdom is that there is such diversity. And I don't just mean in how we look, right? There's diversity in the way that we think. There's diversity in the way that we act. There's diversity in what we believe. And I think that when we can think of the body of Christ, like you're the hand and I'm the foot and you're the eye and you're the ear and we all have different roles to play, then we can take a scripture like this and know that we're all chasing after the same thing. We all want more of God and we all want to be reflective of his kingdom. Amen? So here in Romans 15, they've just come off of fighting about unclean and clean, all that, right? And so this is chapter 15, verse 5, that says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is my hope and prayer, that as we're gathered here, we might think and believe different. Y'all know this is happening right now, right? But we can still gather and love each other, and we can praise God and reflect him and his image and kingdom principles together. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Come set your rule and as we pray, unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. 'Cause we are your church, and we need your power in us. is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song, 'cause You are good, good. Oh, yes, You are good, good. Oh, let the King
to you again. Can you believe it? This time from the beginning of John, and I want to read this to you as a reminder of what we're going to sing in this next song, that the Word of God is Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And so when we sing here that oceans rise and kingdoms fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever, it is Jesus Christ who we sing about and we praise and we hold to His promises. Thank you. To be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You guys can be seated. Good morning. It's so nice to see you. I have a little assistant with me again today, so this is Emerson. And in our house, anytime my kids see that there is a can of this in the fridge, their favorite thing, I mean, they will literally come up to me and just line up and just wait for me just to right down the line. And that is like their favorite thing. That is like a special treat in our house. And so brought this today. When we think about wisdom, I love what Pastor Paul said a couple weeks ago, in that it's not so much that we don't know the right thing to do, it's that sometimes we don't choose to act on what we know. When it comes to like how we treat other people, how we talk to other people, I think we have a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge in what we're supposed to do. We practice it all the time at our house. When I say, hey, how are you supposed to talk to other people?
Nicely, not to hurt each other's feelings.
Right. And we have a lot of ideas about how other people should talk to us. Hey, that was mean. That hurts my feelings. I don't like it when you talk to me like that. But when our tempers
rise, when our emotions get the best of us, when things start to get a little out of our control, what kind of words sometimes slip out?
Words that hurt each other.
Yeah. How many of you guys are guilty of that, where you think you're like, I know I'm supposed to use kind and gentle words. I know I'm supposed to make sure that my words are building people up, not tearing them down. But you know what? They don't understand what's happening today. And before you know it, it just starts to come out. Whatever's inside, it comes out. And sometimes the uglier it is, the better it feels to let it out. And we have that phrase, word vomit, right? Where it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And before I know it, I'm looking at this mess that I've created with my words, that no matter how much I might want to, I cannot get that back in this can. I can scrape at it all I want. I can keep smushing, but I cannot get this back inside. Today, the story that we're learning about shows an example of a wise ruling that Solomon made. Now, the story itself, when we read it on face value, we're like, this is a horrible story. We're talking about two women fighting over a child. But that, I'm sure you can imagine, would be an extremely emotionally charged situation. Sobbing, tears, screaming at each other. And Solomon's in the middle of it, and he could have gotten worked up right along with them and just kept pouring on stuff. But instead, he took a minute to think about what words would get to the heart of this situation. What words would ultimately bless that child with the truth? So when we think about what to do with our words, sometimes it's okay to take a minute. Sometimes it's okay to say, I don't know what to say. Can we practice that together? Ready? I don't know what to say. We don't have to offer everything that comes to our mind right in that moment. The Bible tells us over and over and over again that the Holy Spirit actually wants to speak through us. And that there's times when it says, don't even worry about what you're going to say because God's going to give you the words. So if I block that by just starting to say, I think this and this and this and this, I'm not allowing God's wisdom to flow through me and be a gift to the people around me. So it's okay to say, I don't know what to say. You know what else is okay to say? I need a minute. I'm really upset right now. Emerson, can you try that for me?
I need a minute.
I need a minute and I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I have never had to apologize and gone up to my kids and say, you know what, I am so sorry that I took a second to think about that so that I could answer you without yelling. But you know what? I have had to apologize over and over and over again. I'm sorry I lost my temper. I'm sorry I reacted badly to that. I'm sorry that I didn't stop to think about how my words were going to affect you. So, in this can, I have the equipment to give my son a pie in the face or one of his favorite treats. And the thing is, I have to know that I have that equipment. Our tongues and our mouths are so powerful. The Bible talks over and over again about this connection between our hearts and our mouths. Our hearts are where those words are growing, and sometimes they're growing good things, and sometimes they're festering. And our mouths, they put on display what's growing in our hearts. And so if I know that, then I know that I'm not going to be able to tame my tongue on my own. I'm not going to be able just to sit here and say, if I think nice things, I'm going to say nice things. I need God to actually transform my heart where those words are coming from. So there's a verse in James, and I meant to bring my Bible up here with me, but I'll see if I can remember. But it talks about the wisdom that comes from God, and the words it uses to describe are pure, sincere, thinks of others. It's genuine. It's gentle. And so if my words are seeped in his wisdom, that's going to be what the people around me are experiencing. And for me, day to day, that's my kids most often, is that they're getting to see, am I speaking with wisdom? Am I allowing God to change my heart so that the words that come out sound like him? Or am I just letting the things get me all worked up until it's a mess that I can't undo? So we can't take our words back, but we can choose them carefully.
Thank you, Pastor Mara, for that little talk. We always appreciate when Pastor Josh and Pastor Mara share with us. They do such an outstanding job. And I think I see in Emerson a future for communication, all right? It seemed pretty natural and easy for you. It's a phrase that we teach our kids, and I learned it as a kid. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but lie, right? We understand that is simply not true. It sounds good. We wish it was true. But everyone in this room have either hurt someone, probably you've done both, have hurt someone with your words, or you've been hurt by words. Words hurt. And James, in chapter 3 of James, beginning of verse 5, he writes, "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and it boasts of great things. See how great a force to set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every James is blunt, right? For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse man who was made in the image of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening, both fresh and bitter water?" And so James, so today we're going to cut our tongues. No, we're not going to cut our tongues out. We have our tongues. And James gives this dark picture of the tongue. Words can hurt. And if you think back at the worst hurts in your life, for most of us, the worst hurts in our life are not connected with physical injury. I see Art back there with his shoulder or his arm in a sling after surgery. That's not the worst hurt that you have, is those kind of physical injuries. But it's the emotional, the relational injuries caused by words. Words can damage relationships. And we've all experienced this, both sides. We've said, who would raise your hand and say, "I have said the wrong thing and damaged relationship," and who has had someone say something to them? All of us have experienced this. We all understand this. And we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom is not about degrees or grades. And all of us go, "Whew, great," right? You know, my dad would always say that he liked algebra so much he took it twice. You know, so it's not about our grades. It's not about our memory. Who would say, "My memory is beginning to fail"? Not my memory, but your memory is beginning to fail, right? You know, my memory is not so great. You know, sometimes I'll go out to the truck and forget exactly why I went out to the truck and what I was going to get. A couple weeks ago, I lost my wallet. I looked and looked, and God showed me where it was. It was in a Bible. I just wish he would have done it 2 weeks earlier, before I canceled all my credit cards and had to have Harold cancel the church credit card. But it was in the Bible. It was one of those miracle things, but it was just 2 weeks too late. This morning I got up and I got in my truck and I'm coming to church and after I get in there, I've forgotten some and I went back to get it, and then I couldn't find my keys. And so I got the secondary keys and thinking, where did I lay those? I looked all over, and as I'm driving down the road towards church, I'm hearing something bounce against the door. And so I rolled down my window and reached, and yeah, there were the keys in the door. I know none of you ever have those kind of issues. Wisdom's not about degrees or grades or memory or even just simple knowledge. Wisdom is right thinking leading to right acting. And so ultimately, wisdom builds relationships. That the point of all of this is the wisdom that God gives us is that he wants us to be wise in our thinking and our actions so that we build, not destroy, relationships. And words have a big part in this. Words that tear down and break down relationship do not express the wisdom of God. Mara alluded to 1 Kings chapter 3, and it's a story we're all familiar with. It's a story that illustrates the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon is the king, and we have two ladies that come to Solomon, and one had had a baby and rolled over on it in the night and killed it. And she seized another baby and acted like it was hers. And so they came before Solomon, and one woman says, listen, I had this baby 3 days after hers. Her baby had died. She took my baby in the night. That is my child. Can you hear the angst in this? And the other lady says, no, that's not true. This is my child. And so Solomon makes what to me is the most unbelievable decree I could ever begin to think about. Solomon says, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll cut the baby in half and give half to each mother. And the one mother says, fine. And the other mother says, no. Give it to her. I'd rather the child live than die. And of course, Solomon, understanding that the true mother seeks the welfare of the child, says, give the mother her child. It's her child. And in this story, there's three characters. There's Solomon and the two harlots. Solomon's words seek to find out the true mother. He uses his words to find the true mother. One's ready to let the child die, and one will give up the child so it lives. The interesting thing in this, or one of the interesting things in this story is this. Solomon does not judge the liar. If you read the story, Solomon does not condemn her. And so in this story, I believe Solomon sees the depth of emotion and angst and pain of this mother. In our staff, we had a conversation about this passage. And I got to tell you, to me, it's the silliest story, the silliest way to determine the truth that I've ever heard of. Who would say, yeah, I'll cut the child in half? And so we talked about that, and Mara said this, hurting people use hurtful words. And I thought, how true that is. That it's not so unbelievable, because oftentimes in the pain of the moment, we use words that hurt and kill. See, our words can heal or hurt, and wise words bring healing. And so the question for us this morning is this, what type of words are you using? Are you using healing words or hurting words? Now, as we think about that, one of the questions that we can begin to ask ourselves is this, are your words, are the things that you are saying, a symptom of your need for healing? When you look back at this past week and the things that you've said, are the things that you have said a symptom of something that's going on inside of you? Bitter people use bitter words. Hurt people use hurtful words. Angry people use angry words. And so oftentimes when we say these things to others, it's not about the other person, it's about us. And our words, if we closely examine them, our words can help us begin to gauge and understand that there's something wrong. So what is the source of your hurt or my hurt? What is causing me to be angry? Anybody ever find themselves just mad and you can't remember why you were mad? You know, I found what I, when I find that, because, you know, in my life, there'll be times where I'm just upset and I can't, you know, why am I so upset? And then I begin to trace back what began the spiral. See, anger and bitterness and hurt are like stairs. And one thing will build upon the other. And oftentimes it may be a very small thing that other small things have built upon that drives you to this point where the words that you're expressing cause pain. There's other common excuses. Sometimes we say, they needed to hear what I needed to say. You know, they needed to hear what I said. Maybe. But did your words bring healing or simply pain? Were your words truly for their benefit or for your benefit, right? Who's out there that will say, man, I wish I could have thought to say that when they were talking to me, right? You know, that one-upsmanship, that ideal of, I just got to say the perfect dig and burn back. You know, that's something we need to resist. Maybe you say, well, it's just the way I am. I'm a straight shooter. I was running on the trail. And in Marysville, when you run, there's only one hill that you can run on. And it's on the trail on Mill Park, and it's like 10 feet, right? And that's the only hill I'm aware of. And so I was coming down the hill. And when I can run downhill, I run, right? And a little chipmunk ran out in front of me. And let me tell you, when I start running, and when I'm going downhill, it's a lot harder to stop now. That's a lot of physics at work. And the little guy ran right in front of me. And, you know, I could have said, well, this is just the way I run, and I'm going to stomp him. But instead, I hit the brakes. You know, we can be like that with our words. You can say, well, I'm sorry, that's just the way I am, and I'm just going to run over people. Maybe in those circumstances, the character, the way you are, is not how God wants you to stay. And it may be in those moments that God is training us to tame our tongue. Maybe God wants to improve. Do you think it's possible that God wants to improve our character? Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, what Solomon is saying here is, we will harvest what we sow with our words. The things that we say, there will be a harvest. So think about what you've said in the past week, what you're going to say this week. What is the harvest that comes from those words? I was at a Promise Keepers conference. It's got to be close to 25 years ago, 26 years ago, is when Promise Keepers was really rolling. And it was, I think, the second or third year, and they only had like six cities. And so we were in Indianapolis, and I believe I was there with your dad, your uncle, Josh. And Gary Smalley was speaking, and this has resonated with me for all these years. And what he had us do is he had all the men in the stadium take one hair from their head and drop it. 60,000 men, you still didn't hear 60,000 hairs drop. You heard motion. Then he said, okay, I want you to take off one shoe. And he had us drop the shoes. And he said, those hairs you think you're dropping are shoes. Our words matter. You may think, well, it's just an incidental thing that I said, but our words matter. Not only the words that we say hurt, but the words that we bring in can lift or defeat us. Proverbs 15:4, gentle words are a tree of life, a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And so there's both sides of this. There's this ideal that words matter in our life, the things that we're listening to. We are relational beings, and words are like fuel or food to relationship. And so the words that we bring in can create issues. That's why in John, Jesus is the word, this expression of God, that there is this communication, there's something given. And so the words that we bring in, they can either build us up or tear us down. And so the question is, what words are you allowing in? What is the media that you're listening to, social or otherwise? So if you were to go to a water treatment plant and go bathing in the untreated water, I believe what I'm saying in a preacher sort of way is, if you were to swim in the sewer, what would you smell like? Sewer? The problem is, folks, and maybe I'm turning into an old grumpy man with media, but the problem is, much of the media that we take in is nothing more than sewage. And we're allowing it to corrupt the way that we think and the way that we speak and our relationships with other folks. I'm just going to say it. Social media, for the most part, is sewage. And when you get in the Twitter sphere and you get into these debates, Twitter and Facebook and social media is not a proper forum for debate, because in these forums, it is pushing your agenda. In true debate, you're seeking the truth. And so what we're doing, maybe it's the television shows you're watching, maybe it's the news, maybe it's the music you're listening to, it's affecting the way that you think and the way that you speak. Maybe it's the social media that you're looking at. Who would say, and I've been guilty of this, that you get caught on some of those angry, debate-filled threads and you can't put down your phone. Nobody else is going to raise your hand. You're going to leave me out here hanging once again. When you swim in sewage, you smell like sewage. And so be careful what you fill your minds with. Corrupt words will corrupt the way we think. And maybe they're not your words. Most likely they're not your words. But there is a power and an effect of those words on your mind and in the way you speak. Words that fill our environment matter. So what words are you allowing to shape your thinking and your actions? If you truly want to be shaped into the image of God, then isn't it important that we begin to replace some of these other alternative media sources with the words of God? That maybe we find ourselves in the Word of God? That maybe we find ourselves listening to Christian music? Maybe we find other environments. Maybe it's people. It could be possible that you could have people around you who expose you to bitterness and anger. Sometimes that's a difficult thing, because sometimes it's family. But we need to find ways to buffer, to find places of respect, of peace and places of better thinking. Back to James. The tongue, it's small. It's small, but rudders move large ships. How much of an impact have your words had on others? And when you think back at your life, how much of an impact have others' words had on you? See, wisdom seeks to bring life and blessing through words. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." So what Paul's saying is, our words can be full of knowledge, but if our words are not full of love, they're simply noise pollution. So I have a couple assignments for you today. Today, before you leave, find one person and speak blessing. You know, we can't talk about Ohio State, and you know, I guess you can talk about the Browns finally winning a game. Yeah, they beat a team that won one game last year, so that they're really rolling. There's no Ohio State playing yet, so there's not a lot to talk about. So find one person in this room before you go and speak words of blessing. And this week, we all realize that many are not able to come or not comfortable to come back to church yet. And so think about one of those persons that typically you would see that you've not seen, and send them a note. Write them an email of blessing. Oh, redeem Facebook and put a social media post out saying how great that person is and how much you love them. Somehow bless someone else this week. Now we're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to give you some space to listen. You know, respect and worship are common ideals. This ideal of worship is that we bow down before God because we respect Him and we respect His words. Years ago, and I don't think they still have these commercials, anybody remember E.F. Hutton? What they say, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. And so when God speaks, we should listen. And I truly believe in this atmosphere, as we've heard from God's word, as we've sang, as we've gathered as a community of faith, that God is speaking. And in our listening, we worship. So all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Before I close this in prayer, I just invite you to spend a few moments and listen to God. Speak, Lord. Your people are listening. We want to hear your voice. There's a lot of voices surrounding us. Sometimes I feel like I'm just getting old, because it seems like, Lord, the voices that we're hearing are growing more and more negative. Words that tear down more than lift up. It seems like we've forgotten what it means to speak with love and respect to one another. And so, Lord, we hear it so much that we begin to think it's normal and it's right. But you call us to be unique. You call us to be strange, to live differently. So when the world's calling us to speak words of disrespect, we communicate in a respectful way to one another. We speak words not just full of knowledge, but full of truth and love. Lord, we speak with grace and mercy, because we understand that you spoke with grace and mercy to us. And so, Lord, I pray that this week that we'll pay attention to our words, that the things that we say, the things that we communicate, will not tear people down, but lift them up. That our words will not hurt, but heal. Lord, in doing this, we will express the right thinking and the right actions that come from our Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, to listen, to speak slowly, to be considerate. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to find environments where grace and mercy and love and kindness are the true values, not anger and bitterness. Lord, help us pay attention when we're scrolling on our phones. I think sometimes we think because the phone is so small that it doesn't have that big of an impact. Lord, oftentimes, too many times, we have been influenced by a silly iPhone and the words that we read. We want to be more like you. And to be more like you, we need to spend more time with you. So help us to find time in your word. Help us to join with others, talking about you, reflecting on you, because you are the source of life. Lord, when we do these things, we don't give anything up, but we experience what's real and what's true and what has eternal value. May the words that you speak and the thoughts that you think be acceptable to our God and Savior. God bless, folks. You are dismissed.